This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
So the race for the Oscars is officially underway. The Academy this week has announced its final shortlist of nominees for everything, including, of course, the contenders for Best Original Score. It's the category I'm always most interested in. So this week, I thought I'd reshare a conversation I had with last year's Oscar winner, Volker Bertelmann. His original score for the film All Quiet on the Western Front was chilling and stark and beautiful, and in a lot of ways, very simple. Throughout the score, Bertelmann uses the same three notes, those three simple little notes, to convey a broad range of emotions. There's fear and loneliness and grief. At times, those notes obliterate everything in their path. And in other moments, they're restrained and delicate. It's just an incredible motif. One of the reasons these three simple notes work so well is that even as simple as they are, they keep surprising you. And that's one of the biggest challenges that Bertelmann and the film's director, Edward Berger, faced with All Quiet on the Western Front. A story that has been told so many times in so many ways, it seems like it'd be impossible to have any more surprises in it. But, Bertelmann says, he and Berger started by breaking down conventions.
Edward said to me, please do something that is destroying the pictures, that is not, you know, underlining what we already see. We don't need that. It's already all there. And then he said, I want to have something for Paul Bäumer's stomach, who is the, you know, the main protagonist. I want to have that the feeling from his stomach that he feels always when he's in the trenches. And I want to have a snare drum that is played by somebody who can't play the snare drum.
I love that.
So that were the three sentences that he said. There was nothing else. So
that's some good direction. The idea being that if you destroy a scene with your music, you're probably doing the opposite of what some might expect. Like with the opening piece for the movie, it's called Remains. I want to hear a little bit more of it here. Those strings are just so lovely. And then those three huge, just massive notes. And the instrument is so unexpected, too. It sounds like a synth. But can I tell you what I think it is? Because I don't think it's a synth. I think it's a harmonium. And I think you ran the whole thing through a bunch of distortion or something.
Well, it's exactly that. And I think if you have a knowledge of, let's say, accordion type of instruments, you know, all the key instruments that are air-driven in a way, I mean, there's no way that you can't hear it. All the sounds in there are harmonium. Like what you hear now, the crackling is actually the wooden pedals. Also the high note that is coming in, like the wee, wee, is also a higher harmonium, but the low one is actually a double register on the harmonium. And that whole thing is played through a distortion.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it was a very clear decision when I saw the film the first time. I was thinking I need an instrument from that time. And in my studio, there was the harmonium of my grandmother that I refurbished a year before. And it was just like sitting there waiting for a job. And so I was like, that could be an instrument for the opening, because the whole opening is about the war machinery as a kind of production in a way, very cold in a way as what it is telling. But at the same time, it's very, very precisely filmed, and there's no words on that first 10 minutes, but you know exactly what it's all about. And the cue gets, faster and faster, but it's not the music. It's actually the machines, the elements of the machines are taken over. And we matched them in a way at some point that, the sound effects and the music are fitting tuning-wise.
Prepared Piano has obviously been such a huge part of your musical palette over the years. How much of that are we hearing in this cut? The scraping or anything? Is that all? Is any
no.
of that piano?
It's all harmonium. But I mean, with a prepared piano, when you work on that so intensively like I do and I'm still doing, you always consider every noise and every randomness that is happening inside of the piano as a part of the music. In that case, I actually put overall 8 microphones on the harmonium. I put like 3 inside of the harmonium, so you could hear the breathing and the wood working as a machine, so that I have these mechanical noises. And I recorded them individually as well, so I could actually mute them. And take them out and then, bring them back in. And that was very helpful, because when I had this idea and this very first cue, I sent that, when I did that, it was actually a day after I've seen the film the first time. I sent that, and normally you don't send music directly to a director. Your intuition is maybe right, but you want to sit with it a little longer. And also you want to make sure that you have a wide range of variety as well already at hand, so that you know, okay, I did this, I did that, I did that. And then you present that as an idea. And when you have a palette, there's always a choice of the director, mostly, that he says, I think I like that, I like that, and I like that. But in this case, it was so clear to me that this would be the right thing that I just called him and I said, I think I will send you now one piece. And, if you don't like it, I will work on something else. But in the back of my mind, it was for me like, if that is not working, I'm not sure what else could work.
Because, where to go? Where do we even go? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that also, this piece also was a clear statement for minimalism. So that was clear. If he likes that, then we're on the right track together. So the next day he called me, and he was in his living room with his wife, and they were both cheering through the telephone like, yes, this is exactly it. And, and that was very uplifting, I have to say. After that, I was very happy. And so I could actually use that theme as my main basis to start on.
Let's go to another moment that comes right after that opening and the piece that we just heard, Remains. This is after there's been this battle and we see people undressing the dead bodies lying in these muddy fields. And we follow the journey of their uniforms. These uniforms, they're covered in blood and they've got bullet holes. And we see the people who, these aren't getting tossed. They're getting washed and the holes are getting sewed back together and they're getting repackaged and folded up and then handed off to the next, round of soldiers who are going to be sent out to battle. And this cut that you wrote to accompany this moment is called Uniform.
Thank you.
Tell us what we're hearing.
Well, you hear a loop that is also done with a, you know, with a harmonium, like that does these whoop, whoop, whoop. That's actually a loop, a tape loop that I did with a harmonium. And then there is these snare sounds that are, in a way, a mixture of snare and crancasa.
Basically a big bass drum.
A big bass drum, but you turn it on the, you know, with the fur upside down. So when you put things on it and you slam it, then these things are flying up in the air and they file down. So you have a little bit the hit, but you have also the aftermath of the, let's say, the metal pieces that are landing on the fur after you hit it. And so I use that in combination with an effect, you know, with stutter delays, and so that they, you have these kind of long tails that are slowly grumbling. Then you hear a lot of contrabasses that are, you know, the contrabasses are very loud and, you know, they do all these like low slaps. So when you, when they're getting slapped, I think these, there are two or three hits in there that you can hear that are very low, but they also have this kind of like extreme raw attack to it. And they are very irregular. It's not like an arrangement on the grid. It's much more, it's searching, because on top of that, you hear a choir singing, like the soldiers are singing while they are marching. You hear a church bell ringing. You hear, you know, there are sounds that are in between where nothing is happening. All the other sound effects are coming into place. And when you hear now the music without them, suddenly the music gets extremely sculptural, because you have these islands of sound, and then there is a little hole, and then there is another one. But because everything has a space, you know, on screen, you actually recognize everything. And that's actually sometimes the difficulty with the score. You do, you spend so much time in detail, and then suddenly one sound, let's say the sound of a ship that is passing from left to right, is actually over rolling the whole detail that you've worked on. So in this case, it was very nice that we could work together. And I recently, it was not long ago, I heard somebody sent me an email saying that he, a couple of times he switched off the picture and he was just listening to the sounds and the music for the whole film. And he was totally in it, like very deeply in it, and that it works even without the picture, that sound and sound effects and music are working so well together. And that was for me a fantastic compliment, because a lot of times that is not happening.
It's one of the most difficult dances you have to do as a composer, is to figure out how to be a part of it without being too overbearing or overwhelming. You don't want to drown anything out, but you don't want anything to disappear. Mm-hmm. You know, and where you start and stop and leave those spaces.
Yeah, and you also, you always have the discussion about, you know, can you make it louder?
Yeah. I think one of the things that you hear in the piece Uniform is something that you do throughout the film, and that is, it is just this ongoing study of extreme contrasts. You have those strings that are just so beautiful set against something so jarring.
Yeah, and it's actually what makes maybe the pieces as well, I would say they get a surface in a way, and a surface that is not like flat. So they have these peaks, and that makes the music in a way touchable, but at the same time something can happen, and you prepare the listener and the audience for this moment to accept certain spontaneous snare drum hits or something like that. You're not at the end, I think you're still surprised, but suddenly the music becomes a part of the film and you accept it, you're accepting it, which is with the performance of a prepared piano as well. You know, when I'm starting, a lot of the people in the audience think, oh, what is that? What mm-hmm. is he doing? And why is it sounding so weird? And let's say after half an hour, suddenly they're like, oh, I'm actually not feeling the weirdness anymore. I'm much more in it. And then at the end, a lot of people are very happy that they stayed, you know? And I think it's, you know, in our days, I think these surprises, we're longing for those so much, because everything is so conformed in a way. You know, we have a lot of things that are very similar, and to find a way of being surprised or finding something individual is not so easy to find. And I think to have the chance of doing some risks like that is, for me, it's for me such a big gift.
And my conversation with Volker Bertelmann about his Oscar-winning score for the film All Quiet on the Western Front will continue right after this. You're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy. This message comes from Capital One, offering commercial solutions you can bank on. Now more than ever, your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services, all tailored to your short and long-term goals. Backed by the strength and stability of a top 10 commercial bank, their dedicated experts work with you to build lasting success. Explore the possibilities at CapitalOne.com/commercial, a member FDIC.
This message comes from NPR sponsor CarMax. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because CarMax believes you shouldn't just settle for a car, you should love your car. That's why every car they sell has CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. Don't settle, find love at first drive. Start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Lagunitas Brewing Company. Since 1993, Lagunitas has been challenging the status quo, brewing innovative beer, and crafting stories along the way. Featuring a wide range of craft brews, cult classics, and non-alcoholic options, there's a seat at the bar for everyone. Bring the dog, too. Lagunitas Brewing Company, because every great song deserves a great beer. It's good to have friends. Learn more at Lagunitas.com.
There's this incredible moment in the film where Germany asks France for an armistice. And the French demand a full surrender, and they tell the Germans, you know, you have 72 hours to accept these conditions. And then France says that the fighting will continue until Germany has signed. And, you know, what they're essentially saying in that moment is that the human slaughter will continue until you have given us everything. And the piece that you wrote for this incredible moment is just called 72 Hours.
It's actually a lot of war horns. I had a guy coming here from a medieval, well, he's a performer on medieval markets, and he's having a huge collection of very old war horns and in all sorts of sizes. And we recorded a lot of these war horns that were, you know, doing these, you know, these kind of shouting sounds that are a little bit even like yearning or something like that. And I recorded from those many layers, but at the same time, we also used a lot of strings that were doing these glissandos, these weird pitch shiftings. And I think they were mixing in the end very nicely together. And underneath, you have just the pulse of the negotiations in a way, because time is passing by. They are really, I mean, they want to move onwards. And you can see that the soldiers are stalling, so you can actually see how everybody is getting ready until you hear these sounds of yearning in a way. And what I liked about that is that the contrast is in a way there as well. You have something that is ticking very slowly and building. And at the same time, you have these elements of horror, but they don't sound like horror. They sound more like somebody's shouting or a group of people are crying from far away and they just ask help or please. Honestly, that was something that I was not expecting to turn out so well because I had already that harmonium sound. Mm-hmm. We actually named those two elements. The one from the beginning was our Led Zeppelin theme. and this one was our Bob Dylan. Edward always told me, like, can you do this Led Zeppelin here as well? Then I knew exactly, okay, this is this, you know? You're actually having suddenly a language that where you straight away just hear a name of an artist that you like. And you just straight away know, okay, this theme, so let's use that, you know?
I want to get back to those three main notes that you used at the top of the film. It's fairly common for film composers to take a theme and rework it throughout the score, and you do that in some really beautiful ways with All Quiet on the Western Front. Here's a piece called Scarf that completely reimagines those opening notes, those three notes that are really pretty brutal when we first hear them. Here's how you reimagine them later in the film. Again, the song is called Scarf.
I mean, that's for me the religious theme, you know, the lost humanity. That is, I think, a very religious aspect of the film, because the fact that through being a soldier, you're losing very quickly all humanity and everything that you've believed in and that you had beforehand. And you're wishing to come back to that place at some point and get that back. I think this music, I wanted to be in a, maybe in a sort of Bach area, what I feel when I listen to Bach music, because it has this very deep sense of existence. In a way, the feeling that you have maybe in the morning when you open your eyes and you know that you have another day that you can fill up with things that you love, that is in a way something that I think is very spiritual for me personally. Because then I know I have 12 or 15 hours to do something that I really love. And maybe, at least for me, that is, I know that there are many other people who have a different feeling when they wake up and they are forced to that. But I think there's always a wish, I guess, for everyone who wants to get back to a warm and secure place and having and doing something that you like.
You mentioned earlier the lead character protagonist named Paul. I want to hear a bit of the closing cut named after him. It's called Paul. You know, at this point, we've seen unspeakable horrors and loss, and it's not like the film ends on a happy note. But there is a hint of hopefulness in this piece.
Well, the learning of the film that, you know, everybody's dead in a way, what you learned out of that, I think, when you hear that piece of music and you look in the forest. I wanted to have people not ending totally in depression. I just felt like it's much more like, yes, it's painful, but there will be a possibility of changing things, or at least for myself to learn that, you know, it's a very, very subtle. If you do that too optimistic, this is not working. You have to have a little subtle optimism in there, and warmth and humanity in a way.
The film ultimately ends with some staggering statistics. One is that after 4 years of fighting in the trenches that define the battle lines on the Western Front, that they'd barely moved at all, you know, and that 3 million people died there alone just to gain inches. 17 million total in the war. I'm wondering what it meant for you to work on a film like this that sparks so much, you know, just, I don't know, just reflection on just the fragility of life.
In a way, this film is in a way already different because it has a different approach, because it's the first film that is told from the German side, which you have to, of course, be humble. You know, we have a much different, of course, historical connection to those two world wars, because, of course, we brought a lot of pain to other countries. And, you know, there's a lot of in our culture. We still have this in our DNA somehow, the feeling of guilt and shame about it. It has nothing to do with heroes. I mean, this spot we are talking about is actually 2 hours away from my home. I can drive there with a car. So Europe is very close, and it's full of wonderful nations and wonderful countries with different languages. And I love going to every country where I can learn in a way about myself, where actually diversity and, you know, the foreignness of things are so helpful to discover new things on myself. In a way, when I saw the boys, these boys' lives, and of course also the senselessness of their operation, it helped me in a way also to think about my own life and thinking about the focus of time and what I want to express in a way of embracing other people and learning about their behavior and learning that it's not something that is separating me from them. I think the main topic for me is actually that we learn more about others and accept them and let them live how they want to live rather than putting something on top of them as a rule that nobody knows where it was coming from. And I think that is here the same. I mean, in a way that those 17 million died was just coming from lies and you know, and that continued. And I think that is something that made me think, and I had the feeling that for me it's good to create understanding. And even in my everyday life, when I'm seeing other people that are different than me, that I have to understand why they are different. And it's not about me going right out of the house and complaining and telling them what I hate about them, you know. So that's in a way the beginning. As my mother said, start with your neighbors. It's much more about, you know, where can we find common ground for peace? And I think it starts with every individual.
That's Volker Bertelmann talking about his original music for All Quiet on the Western Front, winner of last year's Oscar for Best Score. I'm Robin Hilton from NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.